Hey everyone, this is Heidi St. John. I have spent the last couple of days here at the show talking a little bit about the practice of yoga. I continue to be very concerned that there are many Christians who are deceived by this and believe that it's innocent. And I've got a very interesting guest on the show with me today. Jonathan Truong is the senior pastor of God Manifest, a church and ministry based in Houston, Texas. I found out about him because a post came across my Facebook feed. Jonathan was talking about the issue of yoga. Having grown up in the Buddhist religion, Jonathan understands the dangers of yoga. And today we're going to talk about how he became a professing, born-again believer in Jesus Christ and why he thinks that Christians should avoid the practice of yoga altogether. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. Hey, Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So as it turns out, we can still use Facebook for some good things because that's how I found you.
Oh, I totally agree. It's with so much trash out there, it's so hard to find good things to read.
It's really true. I was telling you before the show aired that of all the things that I have written about and talked about here at the show for the last 8 years, nothing upsets my listeners more than the topic of yoga and Christian yoga and holy yoga and if there is such a thing as holy yoga. And I had stated on my show, you know, several years ago, I used to practice yoga. I wasn't like a yogi or a super hardcore, you know, I wasn't practicing it for the religious aspect, but I had the yoga apps on my phone and it was really helpful for me. I learned it in physical therapy and it was just something I did until a Christian woman in Southern Oregon called me out on it and said, hey, you might want to understand what's behind it. And it was like the Spirit of the Lord was like, no more for you. And so I did a show on it, invited this woman, Jennifer Smith, on my show. And we talked about it. And I was amazed. I think the thing in your post on Facebook, which I have linked back to in the show notes today, that the post was interesting to me is that you highlighted that you were sort of sad to see people would defend the practice of yoga more than they would defend their faith in Jesus. So I'm really curious. We're going to jump into this, but tell my listeners a little bit about you because you've never been on the show. And I just happened to reach out to you on Facebook. And by the grace of God, you saw it and came on the show. So let's start with kind of who you are and how you came to know the Lord.
Yeah. So my wife and I are a pastor of Tower in Houston, Texas. My name is Jonathan Zinn Truong. My wife is Olivia Truong. Prior to becoming a Christian in 2003, I was a radical Buddhist. I was raised Buddhist. I was hand selected at 9 years old as a potential reincarnation of a Buddhist monk from Tibet. In fact, the Dalai Lama showed up in Houston one year, and while he was speaking at a temple, picked me out of a crowd, pulled me up to the front, kissed me on the forehead.
Whoa.
Which I've seen a lot of weird things with him recently.
Yeah.
Which kind of gave me chills and looked at my mother and said, hey, Jonathan is a reincarnation. I believe he's a reincarnation of my friend, a Buddhist monk from Tibet. I'd like to bring him to, I'd like to invite him to Tibet to spend his trainings to be a Buddha and also a monk in Tibet with me. To which I answered, I am not going with a stranger. Like I panicked. I freaked out.
But how old are you?
The reason I was 9 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So this Buddhist, so the Dalai Lama gave my mother 1 year to make a decision, but my mother in turn turned around and said, hey, Jonathan, this is your decision, but this is an honor I really want you to consider doing because this will bring a lot of honor to the family and in Asian culture. It's all about honor. And I would say at the 6 month mark, I sat with my mom in tears and said, there is no way I'm going to Tibet. I'm not leaving America. I'm born in Newark, New Jersey. So I'm Asian in looks, but I'm very American in blood. And I said, I have no idea. I can't even speak Tibetan. I do not want to become a vegetarian. I do not want to become a
monk.
Buddha or a monk. And I said, Mom, I'm not doing this. And she cried with me and said, okay, I won't make you do it, which is extremely surprising, especially for my mother.
So you saw the Dalai Lama. Where were you again when you met him?
I was in Houston. He was at a local Buddhist temple in A-Leaf, Houston. I had a vision at a young age, and the enemy can give you false visions as well. So it was a week before he showed up. There is a Buddhist temple behind my apartment complex, and I had a dream that these two Buddhist monks showed up at my school to kidnap me. So I woke up, and I'm a trained graphic designer right now by trade. So I woke up and I illustrated the Dalai Lama and illustrated this monk. And my mother ran out to her car upon seeing the photo, the illustration, ran out to her car, pulled a newspaper, brought it in, opened the newspaper, front page of the Asian newspaper was the Dalai Lama and his right-hand man. And I screamed. And she goes, wow. He's here this weekend. I'm friends with those Buddhist monks and I can get you up front. And I went, why do I venture into the temple to meet the two people that I dreamt were here to kidnap me?
Which is so interesting, and because then he went on to say, hey, why don't you come with me?
Exactly. And that sent chills down my spine. It still worries me today about, you know, how many other children he's done that to.
No kidding. Yeah, it's really true. So when did you become a Christian?
Well, it was in 2003. It was my last year of college, 6 years of college. I changed majors over and over. I think probably a lot of college people can attest to this. You just kind of go in there aimless. And I switched majors 3 times. And
this is why I'm always telling parents, don't just send your kids from high school to college. Let them figure out who they are. Let them spend a little bit of time with the Lord. Most high schoolers, you know, 18, 19, 20, they don't know what they want to do. And you're going to spend an awful lot of money helping them figure it out.
Yeah, so 6 years of just flip-flopping through majors from business finance to kinesiology to psychology. Finally, I settled on graphic designing. And when I was in graphic design school, I was in my final semester. The world was falling apart. I was still teaching Kung Fu at this Buddhist temple here in Houston. And everything was just chaos. And you know, a combination of a lot of different things happened, like my father setting me aside, my mother setting me aside, my brother, my professor setting me down and telling me that I should consider switching majors 6 months before graduating.
Oh my.
Because in all honesty, at the moment, I was terrible in designing. Because I didn't have a desire to live. And it just put me in this tailspin. And I was about to kill myself. I came home from school that day. I cried out to God for the first time. I literally cried out, God, why are you doing this to me? I just have questions. I need answers. And I waited for God to hijack my computer and just tell me what to do. Because at that time, there was a movie called The Matrix that was out. And I didn't know how God worked. I grew up Buddhist, so I had no idea how God worked. All I knew is I knew he was real. And I knew I've been ignoring his presence in my life and his voice guiding me to not do bad things, which I always did. And when my computer finished booting and God did not answer at that moment, I was done. I stood up, walked over to my dad's office to kill myself. And then there was a doorbell at my front door. And my mother answered and screamed, Jonathan, it's two pretty young girls that must be your friends.
Who were then, they?
Yeah. So I screamed at my mom. I said, hey, let me wash my face. I'll be right there. I'm 24 years old, single. So I was really excited. I was like, wow.
Two pretty young girls at my door. I'll be right there.
Yeah. So I was thinking, God must be real because I cried out to him. God sent two girls. So I run and open the door and there was these two Mormon girls sitting at the front door, panic, petrified, shaking. And my initial thought was, oh my gosh, these are Mormons. God's a Mormon. And obviously I can tell you, I can fast forward. No, he's not. And then so I'm glancing behind their shoulders. I grew up in a neighborhood called A-Leaf. So it's considered kind of the ghetto. So we've had carjackings in my neighborhood, house break-ins in my neighborhood, and their car was parked in the middle of the road, doors open, engines running. I initially thought, wow, these two girls must be getting carjacked right now. If I'm going to die, I might as well die using martial arts, killing these guys, whoever's carjacking them. So I said, what happened? Both girls looked at me, looked at each other. The one in front that's closest to me shook her head and said, you won't believe me. She turned to walk away and I reached out and grabbed her arm and I said, hey, let me help you. I'll believe you. And she said, we were leaving a Bible study. In that moment, I was thinking, oh my gosh, God answered my prayer. And then she said, there was a voice in the side of our car. And I'm thinking, carjacker. And she said, and I said, what did the voice say? She could stop the car and get out. And I said, what did you do? And they both looked at each other in fear and said, we got out. And the other one nodded her head like, yes, we got out. And then all of a sudden I said, what happened next? And I'm still looking over the shoulder now, looking for the carjacker, because I'm a trained martial artist at that moment. And the girl goes, you won't believe me. The voice was outside of our car. And it said, to your right is a brown house. In that brown house is a little boy. Go knock on his door and go tell him that the answers he's seeking are in the Bible and only the Holy Bible.
This came from the Mormon girls?
Came from the Mormon girls. And I didn't even know that they had a Book of Mormons. But I could tell that she was scared. And she had tears in her eyes when she made that statement. And it made perfect sense months later once he explained to me what the Mormon religion believed. So at the moment, I would say, and then she said, and I said, well, if all my answers are in that book, come in. And she said, I can't teach you. We're not allowed to, because we're women missionaries. Where my temple only allows me, or my church only allows me to teach women. And she said, let me go back to our church and talk to our father, which is their pastor, and to find out if we can send some men to you, when it would be a good time. And I said, this is late February. So I said, you know, spring break's around the corner. I have a whole week off. That'd be perfect. So she got my information. I wrote down my name and number, my house line. And also she wrote me down her name, her last name, and also the phone number to her church. So I told her to come, and then I just went about my way. And I was just elated that God was real. God answered. I'm about to get answers that I've been seeking. And answers to what? I don't even know the answers I was looking for. All I knew is who I was following was not enough, was not real. I knew that I was hopelessly depressed. I was an alcoholic. I was into drugs. I was into women, and everything was hopeless. So fast forward, spring break comes. Last day of spring break, there's no more supernatural things that happen for weeks. So I assumed I lost my mind, because as a Buddhist, as a trained Buddhist monk, I practice a lot of dark arts. And helping people lose their mind was one of the things that my mother had me do for others. And a few people did.
I want to ask you a question, because I don't know anything about Buddhism. Not much. I mean, I've studied it a little bit just to kind of understand the basics of Hinduism and Buddhism. But when you say helping people lose their mind, are you talking about sort of mindfulness, like they practice this in yoga too, where you open your mind, right?
Yes.
Is that the same thing?
Yes, it's mindfulness, it's through breathing, the breathing exercises, through meditation. But the type of Buddhism I was teaching was, I taught about astral projection. I taught about opening the third eye. I closed third eyes on certain people whom I didn't like at that moment. When you open a third eye, what a lot of people don't realize is you're actually opening yourself up as a portal to allow the demonic or evil entities to really enter you and to control you.
Wow. What are, I want to get back to your testimony in a second, but what are the basic tenets of Buddhism? What does a Buddhist believe?
Okay. So a Buddhist, the goal of a Buddhist is to get enlightened. And enlightenment means to basically you lose all desires, because they believe that your desires lead to suffering. So if you can quench desires, you fix all suffering, all human type suffering. The ability to do both, quenching your desires and stopping your suffering, causes you to become enlightened, all knowing. And then at that moment you reach nirvana. Nirvana is a state of consciousness that you reach. The Indian word is blowing out the fire. So suddenly your desire, the fire of desire, gets blown out and you reach nirvana, as a state of nirvana. So the goal is to reach nirvana and also become enlightened.
Wow. And what is the role of the Dalai Lama in all of this?
Well, the Dalai Lama is I would say he's kind of like the high priest. He's the top authority. He's compared to the Pope, I would say, comparable to the Pope.
Okay, so you grew up in the Buddhist tradition, and as such, where did you learn? Did you learn yoga? Is this something that is practiced? It is, right, very common practiced in. I know Hinduism. As a friend who had a former Hindu, she said they practice a certain kind of yoga, but also in Buddhism. Tell us a little bit about that. MyPillow is having a mattress sale. I have a MyPillow mattress and I love it. In fact, I'm getting ready to buy another one for my daughter. Right now, the complete mattress system is on sale for 50% off. This system comes with two free premium MyPillows and a free set of Giza Dream bed sheets. Mattresses come in coil and foam in a wide range of sizes from twin to split king and carry a 10-year warranty with a 6-month money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-447-0541 or visit MyPillow.com and use promo code Heidi to save 50% off the complete mattress sleep system. This deal won't last long. Enter promo code Heidi to save 50% today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, because I was really big on martial arts. And a lot of time, Buddhism and martial arts go hand in hand, whether you're doing Kung Fu or Tai Chi or another form of martial arts. So in it, you meditate and you channel things. When I was doing martial arts, I was channeling anger, and anger is a spirit. Anyone can tell you that they've lost their minds in the middle of a fit of rage. Something took over them. I don't know why I did that. You'll hear a lot of people say, I had no control over what I was saying and doing. So a lot of times these exercises like martial arts or yoga, it looks innocent. Martial arts is for health. Yoga is for health, is what a lot of Westerners will say. But Easterners know that both practices are actually channeling demons, inviting gods, little g's, into your life and yoking yourself with these little gods.
And so if someone is practicing, I'm going to get back to, because I'm going to find out how you came to Jesus. I'm going to find out how you met the Lord Jesus. But I'm curious, because this is sort of how I learned about you when you were talking to people about the dangers of yoga. People think that it is innocent. And you were stating, as a matter of fact, having practiced yoga, that it is anything but innocent. Why did you say that?
Oh, because it's not. I can tell you what surprised me when I became a Christian, when I entered churches, is I've heard many Christians in the very beginning talk about meditation, crystals, chakras, auras, energy, vibrations. These words are very, they say New Age, but New Age is a cornucopia of multiple religions, multiple beliefs into one. And hearing those things, you can just feel the atmosphere change. I can tell you that the purer the life you live as a Christian, the more sensitive you are in discerning spirits, because that's a gift in the spirit.
Yes.
But the more defiled of a life you lived, the less sensitive you are. You become desensitized to the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit, I can tell you that the first yoga session I sat in, I probably sat in two or three, but I have a lot of friends that have been deep into yoga, have a family member that teaches it. The first session I sat in with my older brother, I backed away and I said, something didn't feel right. I feel I feel like something's entering me, which caused me to go, okay, well, in Buddhism, in meditation, you're emptying yourself. To what extent? You're emptying yourself to be filled with knowledge, but the knowledge from who? The knowledge from demons. And it's what happened in the garden. Like they're seeking knowledge. And in seeking knowledge and not seeking the presence of God and the person of Jesus Christ, they got defiled and they got tricked and deceived. And that's what I'm seeing happening in the church right now. That's why I feel like it's our calling, my wife's and I calling, to go around and just really explain to people, hey, a lot of these things you think are innocent, or these crystals you think are pretty, or these Buddha beads that you wear, even well-known Christian ministers are wearing these Buddha beads.
Yep.
And those are actually relics, religious relics that they're wearing that people use for their rituals.
So what we're seeing in the world right now, in Christianity in particular, is a pretty remarkable lack of discernment, right? People who do not, they're not meditating on the word of God, right? They're meditating on other things, but the Bible calls the Christian to meditate on the things of God, right? Philippians 4:8, whatever's good, whatever's right, whatever's lovely. But the church is making excuses. And I find this really fascinating, particularly as it relates to yoga. We saw a movement or a company or whatever called Holy Yoga coming to churches. What is your take on churches who are hosting these exercise groups, particularly one that's called Holy Yoga? Is there such a thing as Holy Yoga?
Yeah, you can't take what God calls as trash or dirty or defilement and make it holy. If mm-hmm. if God clearly states that the worship of idols is ungodly, unrighteous, you can't take something where God labels as unrighteous and call it holy. And that's mm-hmm. that's the problem. I can tell you that a member of our church, the first time I heard of Holy Yoga, a member of our church was part of a health fitness club.
Yep.
And she wanted to become a trainer. And we were having dinner one night and she says, I said, tell me about this Christian fitness thing. It sounds amazing. And she said, oh, we practice this, this, and this, and Holy Yoga. And I said, Holy Yoga, that's an oxymoron.
Yes.
And she goes, yeah. And she said, what do you mean? I said, you can't take what is anti-God and make it God by putting the word holy on it. And she says, and I said, what are the poses you're doing? She says, well, it's the same poses, same name, same titles as yoga, but we call it Holy Yoga and we play worship music. And I said, in all things, everything we do should honor God and point to Jesus. And I said, Holy Yoga does not honor God, does not point to Jesus. And I can tell you that the church and your teachers right now are deceived. And I said, and they're leading their students into destruction and not into life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really true. What do you say to the person who is saying, listen, I'm not doing yoga, I don't call it that, but I learned to do, you know, a pose where I am kind of, I'd say it's down dog is really what the pose is, but they don't call it that. But then someone said, oh, that's a yoga pose. You're not talking to that person, right? You're talking to the person who's doing this, the sun salutations and doing the movements in order and asanas and all those kinds of things. You're talking about people who are actually practicing yoga, even if they're calling it yoga, because they're not changing the names. They're doing the same thing. They've just put the word yoga in front of it. Correct?
Correct. Yeah. Cause someone wrote me the other day on my post, I had a lot of hate comments and they said,
I bet.
So they said, so what am I supposed to do instead of yoga? And I said, there are 1,000 other exercises that are not, that did not originate in the occult. And I said, number one, number two, stretch. It's fine. Stretch, but don't stretch while you're doing yoga. Don't stretch while you're doing Christian yoga. Don't stretch while you're doing holy yoga. Don't stretch while you're chanting mantras. Don't stretch not knowing what you're saying in a different language. Like they're chanting, they're doing these things and they're opening themselves up and they're using these breathing exercises that are fully the occult. It's always like stretching is great. I said, I did martial arts. I don't do martial arts anymore because that's the occult as well. But I do certain stretches still because I want to be flexible and I'm in my 40s, you know, working out and being flexible is a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw one of the comments on your post, which is something I've heard, you know, here at the show also, is that we don't have a lot of Christians in the faith space right now, born again Christians who are talking about the importance of taking care of our bodies. We want to do that, right? Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. What kinds of things do you steer people toward? And they're saying, listen, I want to stay in shape. We talked about Pilates as an option here at the show one time. Somebody was came on and sort of gave options. What are you telling people? I mean, you've obviously given us a little bit of an introduction to it. But when someone comes to you and says, where can I go? Is there a place online that you recommend? Is there a particular style of exercise that you say, hey, this has been helpful for me? It's something I would recommend.
But I can tell you that, you know, so scripture says, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. So in all things, before you even start, is to seek the Holy Spirit. So I always encourage people in our church, people who follow us online to, hey, seek the Holy Spirit. If I'm pointing you towards myself or another person as a voice of Jesus in place of Jesus, then I'm doing you an injustice.
That's right.
And then after that, hey, go out there and walk, work out, lift weights. My wife and I, we have a Pilates machine in the house that we do certain Pilates, but there are certain things where if we're listening to a trainer and they said, now do the downward dog and do this inhale and this exhale, we don't pay attention to that at all. We don't do it because they're leading it. But if the Lord leads me, let's say later on in the day, if my back feels stiff and I ask the Lord, hey, what should I do? If it looks like the downward dog or whatever they want to call it, but he leads me to do that workout, that stretch just to stretch, then yeah. I'm fine.
Yeah. And I think that's important. And what you've just said is discernment. We're not saying you can't stretch. We're saying stop doing the poses and calling them those particular poses. I know a lot of my friends for a long time were doing what they called a sun salutation, right? It's a series of poses that the yogis will teach you where you're breathing a certain way and you're stretching a certain way and you're doing things in order. And that's what you're warning against, right?
Correct. Yeah. And what's interesting is if these people who are so up in arms about my yoga posts and your yoga videos, if they find a yoga in India, a yogi in India, and speak to them, they will tell you, hey, you Christians have no reason doing these rituals because mm-hmm. they're worshiping my gods, not yours. Mm-hmm. These are not exercises. Don't talk down about my rituals, my religious rituals. These were created to worship Brahman, Vishnu, and Shiva. And now, and also to invite, I would say a Kundalini into you, which I can tell you, my wife and I, we do deliverance. And like, for example, the last 2 years, we've probably done 400 deliverances, not on purpose, because everywhere we go, people are asking us about yoga too. Yeah. And we've seen the manifest the Kundalini spirit multiple times, and it mm-hmm. blows my mind. And some of these people don't even tell us they've done yoga. As soon as we start it, they start manifesting. It looks like a serpent, and then when we cast it out, we ask them about yoga, and they repent for yoga, and they're set free.
Isn't that interesting? I think people do not realize the correlation that we literally open ourselves up. You know, the Bible teaches us that there is such a thing as good and evil. The demonic world is real. It is real, and it is nothing to mess around with. And so, if you have a Christian or brother and sister such as yourself who is warning other believers, listen, I understand what yoga is now. I've talked to these yogis. I was in this myself. And he's saying, this is not good for you. We should be listening. We've got about 2 minutes left and I haven't gotten to all of your story because it's so fascinating. But I would love for you to tell quickly our listeners how you came to accept Jesus Christ into your life.
Yeah. So the first Bible study came. It was the last day of spring break. I get a phone call as I was about to head out to a drug party again, because I thought my encounter was fake. This young lady, the one I encountered that got my number, said her purse strap broke just as I was about to walk out of my house. And she called the number and she came over and started teaching me the Bible. And she only taught me the Bible because I did not know anything about the Book of Mormon. So fast forward 6 months from that date, I was teaching the Bible studies because I was hearing the Holy Spirit, which blew their minds. They didn't even realize a normal, common Christian follower can hear Jesus. They thought only prophets could, but they obviously were not aware of what Jesus did for us in the new covenant with the Holy Spirit, allowing every Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit, clothed in the Holy Spirit, and hear the Holy Spirit for themselves. So after that, 6 months after that, my last Bible study with them, eight of the 21 Mormons that were gathered around teaching me the Bible, and then I ended up teaching them the Bible, left the Mormon church and walked into the fullness of salvation with Jesus Christ and ended a new covenant relationship with Jesus. And now my wife and I are pastors. We literally travel and we speak a lot about the cult things that I've experienced. And also we demonstrate the full gospel of Jesus, preaching and with demonstration of power.
Jonathan, if somebody's listening to this and they don't know Jesus Christ, can you explain the gospel?
Yeah. The gospel is simple. Jesus, the Son of God, so loved you personally. And he knew that there was no sacrifice, no bloodshed capable in this world to save your soul but his. So he came down, born of a virgin, died, suffered, and rose from the dead because he was spotless and blameless for you, so that you can be in full covenant with Jesus Christ, full covenant with God, and have Christ, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, living inside of you for all eternity.
And how does a person become a Christian?
It says that you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. But it says to repent. Repent means to turn away. Turn away. For example, I was a Buddhist. I turned away from all things Buddhist. I was an alcoholic. I turned away from the things that defiled me. I was a womanizer. I turned away from infidelity. I turned away. I repented. And the Lord said he's faithful to forgive, and he'll wash you clean, white as snow. And he'll forgive you as far as the east is from the west.
Jonathan, I love your testimony and I love your boldness for the Lord Jesus. It is the gospel that changes us. It is the message of the cross. You know, we talk about so many things in the culture today. I think the church is so upside down and backwards. We're focusing on so many things. It's the gospel. It's Jesus Christ who delivers us from sin. The sin we need to be delivered from is first of all in our own hearts. And so I love that you reminded listeners today that that's what is needed right now. We keep hearing people crying out for a revival. We want hope and we want change, but revival doesn't come apart from repentance. The Greek word for repentance, metanoia, means I change my mind. I turn around. I go a different direction. And your life is a living, breathing example of that. Where can people find you online? Because I don't have time because I have to do another interview in a few minutes, but you have written a book.
Yes.
About your testimony. You have it with you. So put it up there so we can all see it. There it is, Buddhists, Mormons, and Jesus. And in it, you really talk also about the difference between Mormonism and Christianity. I think a lot of people are confused by that. Maybe I'll have you come back on another time and talk about that. But where can people find you online?
Yeah, you can find me online at godmanifest.com. We're on Facebook as well. Jonathan Zintrong on Facebook, Instagram, Jonathan Trong. And if you have any questions about Buddhism or my life story or salvation, reach out. My wife and I are very accessible. We love y'all. We just want to spread the good news and preach the pure gospel and demonstrate what Jesus commanded us to demonstrate.
I love that. Thank you so much for answering a Facebook message from a complete stranger and coming on the show. I really appreciate your willingness to take some time today. God bless you.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. For more information on my guest today, head on over to the show notes. That's HeidiStJohn.com/podcast. We'd love to hear from you. You could leave me a voicemail if you've got questions, or you can go to HeidiStJohn.com/mailbox Monday. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again at the intersection of faith and culture.